A precious relic believed to be from Jesus' crown of thorns, a lock of hair and a tartan kilt once owned by Bonnie Prince Charlie, and a plain felt hat that belonged to a young lawyer, later to become St. Thomas More. Plus an impressive collection of ancient missals and manuscripts, vestments and other artefacts that were hidden away during the darkest days of religious persecution in England. All of these are now on display at an exhibition entitled Held in Trust at a Jesuit-run church in Liverpool, the northern city currently celebrating its role as the European capital of culture. St. Francis Xavier's is a beautiful Gothic revival church, founded by 9 former students from a nearby Jesuit school, not long after the passing of the Catholic Emancipation Act that put an end to active persecution or discrimination. Located in one of the poorest parts of Liverpool, the church is now hosting this free exhibition, which offers some rare insights into the religious history of those centuries, both in Britain and on other continents where Jesuit missionaries were carrying the gospel message.
A whole lot of snapshots of British history and British Catholic history are there in this exhibition.
The administrator at St. Francis Xavier and the brain behind this inspirational exhibition is Brother Ken Vance. I asked him how the idea first came about.
Yes, the idea came up about 4 years ago. Liverpool had just been awarded European Capital of Culture for 2008. And a group in the parish got together and thought, how can we celebrate this event? Now, our parish is situated in quite a poor area of Liverpool, so we weren't quite sure what to do. And then finally the idea came up that Stonyhurst College, which is about 50 miles away from SFX, St. Francis Xavier's, is connected to Jesuit High School. St. Francis Xavier's parish started from Stonyhurst in the 1840s. And they had a whole series of beautiful treasures in their archives, and we thought, why don't we bring some over to Liverpool?
So that people can get to see these things. I mean, they're really quite a collection, aren't they, dating back centuries?
Oh, indeed. A lot of them were given to the Jesuits during penal times when the church was persecuted, and a lot of Catholics thought, oh, the Reformation will blow over and things will get back to normal, so let's just keep these and then bring them out of the cupboard after the dust settles. Of course, the dust hasn't settled. The Reformation carried on, and so we've still got all those bits and pieces that people gave us.
Tell us about some of the most impressive exhibits that will be on show then.
One of the main exhibits is Thomas More's hat, St. Thomas More. The hat itself he wore when he was a young lawyer, and he left it in the house of some friends on the continent. He visited them in Belgium, though it wasn't Belgium in those days, and he left it behind. And they kept it, and after he'd been martyred, they used to bring it out of the cupboard each year on the anniversary of his martyrdom. And then finally they sent it back to Britain, and it came into the possession of the Jesuits of Stonyhurst.
So that's one of the most interesting pieces. You've also got, I see, a book of homilies, for example, from Pope Gregory, dating back to 1170. I mean, some really ancient works here.
Oh, indeed, yes. There's quite a few beautifully illustrated manuscripts. We've got Cardinal Wolsey's prayer book. It was given to Cardinal Wolsey by the papal legate that came over to sort out Henry VIII's divorce proceedings. So that's got quite a bit of history in itself. And then several beautifully illuminated books of ours. And there's a prayer book from Saint-Chapelle. And in one of the pages, it's got almost an itinerary of the relics that were kept there. So you can spend ages going round these and marvelling at the wonderful illuminations and the gold, which still looks as if it was only put in there a day ago, you know.
I was going to say, I mean, these things date back centuries. Where have all these things been kept over the years?
Well, when the church was going through a sort of persecution period, the penal times, the Jesuits, the British Jesuits, started a college on the continent. It moved around a bit depending on the politics of the day. So it was in Liège, Saint-Omer, and Bruges for a while. And people sent their precious articles over there for safekeeping. Held in Trust is the title, and that's what they gave us, to hold in trust for better times. So this stuff was trundled around, kept in these colleges and trundled around from place to place as they moved. And finally, at the end of the 18th century, when things got quieter and more pleasant for the Catholic population in Britain, they came back over to Britain and landed at Stonyhurst in Lancashire. And they brought all these things out of the various boxes they were carrying, and they were now on display there.
So these exhibits really, in a way, reflect, don't they, the incredibly troubled history of the church, not just in Liverpool, but in that part of the world particularly.
Oh, indeed, yes. Yeah. And there's a beautiful chasuble made by Helen Winter. She embroidered it. In fact, she embroidered five for the Jesuits of her day. Now, three of her brothers were implicated in the gunpowder plot, and they all lost their lives because of that. And we had this little image of Helen in the next room while the plotters were plotting away. And there she was with her needle and cotton sewing away. But they are beautiful vestments. So a whole lot of snapshots of British history and British Catholic history are there in this exhibition.
Now, it's important, I imagine, that people from around the country come and have a look at these, and yet many of them won't know much about, apart from a few odd details, but most people won't know much about many of these stories of suffering and persecution, will they?
No, and we've got a beautifully illustrated catalogue, 200 pages long. The exhibition is divided into five different sections: pre-Reformation, Reformation, Recusant, and so on. And at the beginning of each of those sections, there's an essay by a British scholar on that period. So it gives them an introduction to that. And then each of the artefacts has two pages. On one side is a picture, and the other side a full explanation about what the artefact is and how it came into Jesuit hands.
You're talking a little bit about the past, the history of the church there in Liverpool, but even up until very quite recently, it was an incredibly troubled place to be a Catholic, wasn't it? I mean, it was almost as divided as Northern Ireland, for example, until not very long ago.
Well, more so in some cases. A few years ago, I met Gerry Adams, who was prominent in Northern Ireland, as you know, and I spoke to him about the problems we had in Liverpool when I was a child, the orange and the green. And I said, you know, we used to throw bricks at each other. And he said, well, they didn't do that in Ireland until the trouble started, which surprised me a little bit. He said there was a little bit of integration when he was younger. It was only in the 70s and 80s, when the communities divided it wider than they had been, that bigger trouble started. But St. Francis Xavier's Church is situated in one of the sort of epicentres of troubles in Liverpool. And every 12th of July, when the Orange Lodge march, and it still does march from time to time, when they pass the church, the choir would sing in English, "Hail Glory St. Patrick," or "Faith of Our Fathers," while the Orange Lodge marched outside banging their drum. It was quite a traumatic period for the school children in our local school. But thank God that's over now, and the local vicar, Henry Corbett, comes along regularly, and he's visited the exhibition a couple of times already, and we have quite a few joint services together over the year.
Do you see this exhibition in some way as something that is bringing back a lot of these problems from the past, or do you think in some way it can actually help on the ecumenical journey there?
I don't think it's bringing the problems back. It's recognising the fact that they have happened, but we've moved on. And now we can look at these and say, well, you know, have we learned from the past? So it's an educational idea that we have about the exhibition.
If I'm not mistaken, there are also some interesting exhibits from other faith traditions, from Islam, Hindu, Buddhist pieces. Where do these come into the picture?
From a variety of sources. Stonyhurst is a public school, and in Victorian times, a lot of the former pupils, boys in those days, it's co-ed now, but they went out with the British Empire, as it was, and sent stuff back. So we've got a whole variety of things, and we wanted to make that statement that it's not just Catholic history we're representing. There's a beautiful piece of the Quran from the 10th century, and also a Muslim marriage contract from Victorian times. It's a beautifully illustrated contract, and one of the pages has 21 small squares, and that was to fill in the names of the children. So it was only not just Irish Catholics that had large families. But that's the Muslim bit. We've got some lovely plates of Jerusalem from the 1850s, very early pictures of the Wailing Wall and of the site of the temple. And they're there. And then there's some ethnographical stuff from South America that were sent over, something from Brazil in the old reductions. We had reductions in Paraguay, the sort of centres that the Jesuits ran, educational and utopian-type places. And a bell from there. We've got some Plains Indian moccasins, whole variety of things.
And this exhibition is free, isn't it? Open until the end of September?
Yes, open until the 27th of September. It's free, and we've been sponsored by a whole variety of people. So that's how we've managed to keep it free. And one trust has given us money so that we can sponsor school groups to come, and we can give them a subsidy for their travelling expenses, which is great.
You describe St. Francis Xavier as being in a very socially deprived area. Tell us a little bit about the parish today. It was once the largest Catholic parish in England, if I'm not mistaken.
Indeed, yes, with 13,000 Catholics. Yes, it's a massive building. I mean, it's a Grade 2 star listed building. They started building it in 1843, and by the time it opened in 1848, there'd been the great hunger, the potato famine in Ireland, and it was too small, although it was built to hold 1,000 people. And they were going to put a fourth aisle into the church. Instead, they built a beautiful chapel at the side, which is the size of a small parish church. So it is a massive building. But as mentioned, it's in the second most deprived area in the country. The indices of deprivation are quite high.
So the sort of problems you're talking about are unemployment, crime, street crime, things like this?
Not so much street crime. Drugs are the biggest problem in the area, and we have quite a big problem. Liverpool being a port, it has problems of drug distribution. So it's one of the places that stuff is sent around the country. And some of our parishioners are in prison because of that. But that's the main thing. No big problems with break-ins and so on, so I'm not worried about the artefacts being stolen. But the deprivation and the level of education is pretty low.
So the church plays quite an important role, I imagine, in trying to, in some way, provide some kind of support for people on the fringes.
Oh, indeed. And we across the road from us, there's a homeless project which we're heavily involved in. We have a pensioners club. And this exhibition has given the parishioners a great deal of encouragement and pride. We've got about 50 helpers who are serving teas, welcoming people at the door and so on. And they're really proud that this exhibition is in their midst. So there's signs of hope all over the place.
My thanks there to Jesuit brother Ken Vance, administrator at the Church of St. Francis Xavier, and a reminder that Held in Trust exhibition is open daily until September the 27th at St. Francis Xavier's in Liverpool's Everton district.